Hello and welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey and as always I'm joined by my co-host, the landlubber, Luke Cutford.
Hello there.
This week we're talking about viral viruses and hantavirus hyperbole. But first, Luke, I've got a question for you.
Please go ahead.
Do you know about hantavirus? Do you know the story of this? Please, do you know?
I do, and as soon as I saw this happening, I thought, this is going to be a SciGuys episode, so I'm very unsurprised to be here.
Good. Here's the thing, Luke. I just want to set the record straight. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard about hantavirus. I'll say this. Hantavirus was kept from me. Yes. My partner knew about hantavirus and did not tell me for fear that I would either spiral or perhaps, Luke, perhaps fear that I might embarrass myself a la COVID again. But Luke, I am smarter. I am older. I will not embarrass myself. I will not say.
You'll not say this is all going to blow over. If everyone does the right thing, which they did not do.
Okay, in my defense. I still think that COVID would have been fine if people hadn't been, you know, people, I guess, is the issue, right?
Yeah.
It's not people. It was more the government responses and everything. I was going off of the science that we had at the time, and the science we had at the time and the scientists were saying, don't go crazy. Chill out. Don't buy up all the toilet roll. Just be normal about it. And of course, people weren't normal about it, which made me look silly. And that's why I hate the human race. But look.
And also why you didn't wipe your bum for weeks.
Look, that's neither here nor there, okay? We had a bidet. Did I use it?
No, I don't know. I wasn't living with you.
No, I didn't use it. It scared me. Wet on my bum bum? No, thank you. Rhizone only.
Wet on my bum bum. I don't like that.
But no, with the hantavirus, not the hantavirus. There's not just one hantavirus. Look, I don't know if you know this. Hantavirus is a family of viruses.
It reproduces, doesn't it? Using people as its medium.
You've just described all viruses, but yeah.
I'm not wrong. Am I wrong?
I guess like all obligate parasites specific to humans. That's like saying, what is a dog? It's got four legs.
You know what? Sometimes it's just nice to make broad statements so you can't be wrong or corrected.
Yeah, I learned my lesson. Okay. What I will say is that fingers crossed, okay, based on what I've read this time around, it does seem quite unlikely. It seems, save for some freak mutation, you know, it seems unlikely that this family of viruses could spread to a pandemic level event by human-to-human transmission. And now that I've said that, I'm terrified of what's going to happen over the next 6 months.
It's good to see that you learned your lesson, because you forgot to cross your fingers last time, didn't you?
That's it. I caused COVID. I caused the entire pandemic by not crossing my fingers. And that's why you've always got to cross your fingers, especially when you're lying, because it means that it's not true.
I don't think that's
what is this
I
a mean. Mixed
metaphor?
I think
metaphor? It means that you get away with the lie. I don't think it means that it's not true. It was true. It was not true already because you were lying.
I don't know, Luke. I don't understand any of this.
Can you just keep your fingers crossed all the time and we'll all be safer?
What about my toes? Should they be crossed?
They should be crossed, but only when you're lying.
What about my testes?
If they're crossed, you need to get to the doctors.
Yeah, they've stopped taking me, Luke. They said if...
Stop crossing your testicles, Corey.
If you keep on doing this, you're going to lose them. And at some point, mate, it's not our problem.
Doctor, it hurts when I twist my testes together. Stop twisting your testes together then.
But it feels so good. And then immediately awful. Have you heard of testicular torsion, Luke?
Yeah.
Secret bonus episode within this episode.
I heard there's like a thing where like there's a whole bit of your body that like loops up from your testicles, like up in your chest and then back down to your testicles. Maybe I made that up.
Did you hear that from, oh God, who was it that was talking about that? Oof, Plato, maybe?
No, I think I heard it from a doctor.
Yeah, Plato.
Dr. Plato.
I mean, Plato could be a doctor, right? Was he a doctor?
No, he was a philosopher.
He could be a doctor of philosophy.
Not back then.
They invented university.
They
so.
Okay. Well, okay. Mr. Dr. Plato, sir.
Well, how about this, Luke? I'm going to Google whether Plato was a doctor whilst you talk and keep everyone entertained.
Good God. That's a lot of pressure. Okay, so hantavirus.
By the way, it's your job, to be clear. It shouldn't be a lot of pressure. It is fully your job.
My job is to respond to your entertainment.
No. you should be able to do 10 seconds of riffing on your own.
That's... I'm basically just the audience laugh track. That's what I do. There's a little sign that says applause, and I go, ha-ha.
Except you don't go, ha-ha. You specifically laugh in ways that... you specifically laugh in ways that I have to manually add back in, because if you put it through any kind of auto voice isolation thing, your laughs don't come through.
I just want to give you something to do. I don't want you to get bored.
They're snorts or they're like little goblin noises. Yeah.
Does that one count?
That one will probably do. Okay, 10 seconds. Just pure look. Go.
Okay, look over there. Look over there, and look over there. And look over there, and look over there. That's 10 seconds of pure look.
Okay. Do you know what? I was getting a little bit frustrated because I was like, man, you can try harder. But then the punchline hit.
Boom.
Good, good. Well done.
Thank you.
Making this worthwhile for anyone who's worried about hantavirus and is now listening to two idiots vamp whilst one of those idiots finds out whether Plato is a doctor. Now, the AI overview says that Plato was not a doctor, which of course means Plato was a doctor, and I'm right.
Is that how this works?
I mean, like, most of the time, man. I don't know. If you look at the Google AI overview, is it not mostly wrong?
I'd say it's about 50-50, which kind of is even worse than being mostly wrong, because you can't, you know, if you...
Actually, that's so true, yeah.
Yeah, if you have something that's always wrong, you can just do the opposite thing and you'll always be right. But when something's 50-50 wrong... You basically just need to put it in the bin.
When something's always wrong, it is just right in the wrong phase. You're so spot. It's predictive. It's predictive.
Which AI often is not. It is predictive. It's predicting the next token.
It's the future, Luke.
Is not a very good token.
Anyway, I asked AI what hantaviruses were, and it said, you need to pay for me. No, it didn't say that.
Which means you don't have to pay for it.
Yes, because it's always... No, it's 50 wrong.
It's 50 wrong. Oh, no. It's 50 wrong. You have to pay 50 times.
I fear this has gone so far off the rails that there is no easy segue I can do to bring us back on track. And given your role as audience insert, I suppose, I can't expect you to do it segue. But do you want to try to segue us back?
Sorry, three people are dead.
You can't say something like that to me because you know that my response to awful information is laughter.
And we've got a show to film.
Thank you for getting us back on track. Anyway, hantaviruses. So yeah, as of the 11th of May, 2026, 7 cases of hantavirus infection have been confirmed by the World Health Organization after a suspected hantavirus outbreak on an Atlantic cruise ship.
Yes.
Do you know about this?
Yeah. I do know about this. Yeah. At first I thought it was some kind of commercial vessel, but I think it is actually just like a holiday cruise ship, is it?
I think so, yeah. I'll be honest with you, Luke. Classic me, I spent less time looking into, you know, the cruise and more time looking into what hantaviruses were because I thought that was interesting.
You've got your priorities wrong. This is a shipping show, Corey.
Oh, yeah. It's a holiday the ship show. Guys, right?
The ship guys.
Oh, no. The SCI stands for Shipping Containers Industries, guys,
yes,
right?
Yeah. That's very much what I'm here for.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. After 300 odd episodes, Luke, people have been...
Shipping Container Industries. Sorry, quick side note. I once was talking to a guy...
Shipping Cruise Industries. Damn it.
I had to keep a straight face. I was once talking to a guy, and I asked him what he did as a job. I really hope he never hears this. I do still know him. And he said, I work for International Business Corporation. And I was like, you just work for a company. That's not a real thing.
Just put worse together.
It's like you're a spy or something.
It's like a child who doesn't understand. Hello, we're three children in a trench coat. We're an adult man who is very tall. What do I do for work? Oh, I work at the business company.
Yeah.
You know, mainly dealing with businesses and such.
I have business to do at my business company. My international business company. I was like, this is the company from like a Superman comic or something.
Oh, you mean like a Lex Luthor shell corporation?
Yeah. And I know that like one of the biggest companies in the world, at least for a long time, was IBM, International Business Machines. But at least there's a noun.
That's what they do. They're saying what they do.
Business company, corporation. It's International Corporation, International Business Corporation Limited. That's just International Company.
You're so right. And I don't know, because I found out about this from media growing up, right? But in my life, it's kind of always been a given that there are companies that just do nothing. But I suppose that kind of started cropping up in, I guess, the 80s or 90s, that there are just companies that are companies for the sake of company, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, you can work at the company and not know what the company does. And actually, a lot of companies do lots of things. They do any and everything. Like, the same company that makes, say, your dishwasher will also kill children in a nation that you've never heard of.
Call them out.
Call out the children.
No. Well, call out to them and warn them.
Luke.
Sorry.
I'm not... No, I'm not cutting that. You said, you said a beautiful thing.
The pressure... Yeah, well, do call out to them and warn them. Please.
Oh, hold on. Obviously, cut out me saying, warn children of incoming airstrikes. Look, that's... Why? That's not a bad thing.
I mean, okay. Well, I suppose
unless you don't want the people knowing your support of children in nations you've never heard of.
Well, I do have a dishwasher by that company.
Specifically because you're like, if I'm going to get any dishwasher, it's got to be a dishwasher that's specifically bad for children in a country I've never heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, hey, if you've got an iPhone, right, it's basically the same thing.
I think I'm gonna row back from that claim.
What? You don't think iPhones use slave labor?
I don't think Apple makes missiles.
No. It's the children that are the slave labor. That's how it harms the children.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, imagine how the child feels.
Oh, sorry.
Stop imagining how the child feels.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Let's get back to hantaviruses, which, to my knowledge, you have no control over.
Not yet.
Ominous. Okay, so what are hantaviruses? Do you know what hantaviruses are?
No.
So they are a group of viruses carried
by... Yeah, I know that bit. Thank you. Carried by those people.
By rodents.
On that ship.
They're not on the ship anymore.
It's not nice to call them rodents, sorry.
No, look.
They're passengers.
They're very ill people with a very rare disease.
Not all of them. Some of them are just passengers.
Okay. I think you call them carriers, actually. No. So speaking of carriers, it's found in rodents. Rodents are the carriers for this, and it can cause severe disease in humans, which is true of lots of diseases. It's a zoonotic disease, right? So it comes from an animal, and if it does get transferred to a human, which... It's often, like, unlikely. If it does get transferred to a human, it's not good, you know? Like, anything that comes from bats, you know?
Mm. Can I tell you how I first heard of this hantavirus outbreak, by the way?
What if I said... What? Really? What if I said no?
Well, you can. You have freedom.
You can't tell me that. No,
okay.
Luke. Oh, you just wouldn't tell me.
Well, no, I'm not going to force it on you.
You not to be too inside baseball once again, but you do understand that, like... It's just an expectation that you tell anecdotes related to the topics.
All right, let's try it then. You say no. Can I tell you how I first heard about this hantavirus?
No, Luke, you can't.
Tough shit. So I was on Twitter. Is that what you want? Is that what you want, Corey?
No, Luke, I'd actually rather you spend less time on Twitter, but carry on with your anecdote.
Okay, so I was on Twitter, and I saw a thing saying that hantavirus spread by there being rat feces in the food on board the ship. And I was like, oh, wow. And I went reading about this. And then it turned out that was a Ratatouille joke because hantavirus is spread by rats. And the idea was that the rat was working in the kitchen and got its poo in the food. And that's how everyone got hantavirus.
I have several problems with this.
Mm.
First of all, not a Ratatouille joke because it's unlikely, right? For Remy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not pooing in the food.
No, he is all about...
Then slander our guy.
But he's all about, like, cleanliness. And, like, he's very much the guy, like, you gotta wash your hands before you do any of this. Like, all of that, right? He's all about it. There's even, a specific shot of Ratatouille where there's, like, a little sort of, you know, bit where all the rats are getting themselves all cleaned up before they help with the... in the kitchen.
Okay.
So I reject that, first of all. Second of all, it's far more likely for rat feces to just be in food in a kitchen in the real world anyway than it is for Ratatouille, because those rats are sentient. No, not sentient. Well, you know, our rats are sentient too, but, like, he's Patton Oswalt, okay? He's got Patton Oswalt's little voice, and he can, like, understand things and cook. He's a rat that can cook, okay? In the real world, most rats can't cook, but they can go poopy in, like, restaurants.
The foodie.
Yes! That really bugs me.
Okay, so it's a poorly researched and thought out Ratatouille joke.
It's that's my issue with it, that it's bad comedy. Oh my god.
Not just that it's false information, or at least we don't know yet.
Yeah,
just bad comedy.
Speaking of bad comedy, I don't know if I should say this, but there's this person that I've seen that does jokes. And I'm wearing my shirt inside out.
Oh, that's a good... That's an interesting story.
Yeah, hold on. Luke, can you for 10 more seconds?
Again.
Can you do something for 10 seconds that is entertaining whilst I take my shirt and put it the right way out?
Gary, you really didn't let me prepare a bunch of little sideshows I was meant to have in order to do this, to correct for your mistakes and let you allow you to do research. Corey, put your nipples away. Goodness me. This is a family establishment. We're back. That wasn't very entertaining of me, but there we go.
That was so
Your shirt looks exactly the same. Love, you didn't need to do that.
I had to do it for me, okay, because I'm going to forget that it's inside out and go somewhere dressed like this and embarrass myself. But I will say, abysmal.
Yeah.
what were you doing?
I'm so sorry. I'm not a kind of like little sideshow guy, I'm afraid. I'm just here to mirror
you. You're the main event. Oh, you're here to mirror me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm more of a sidekick. I'm more of a Robin as opposed to just like a different superhero.
Anyone who willingly is like, yeah, I'm the Robin. Yeah, I'm the small child that sleeps in the same bed as you and then you adopt.
Is that
Robin's they did for a while. Story? No, but like it was like in the 50s and 60s, so it wasn't like weird. It was
Oh right, that's when it was totally normal to adopt a child and have them sleep in your
bed.
You
haven't adopted him yet. It was just his ward.
That feels worse.
No. It's like it's like with the big sleeping caps and they climb into the big bed together.
Oh,
you know, like how like
the not pedo caps when you wear
yeah,
the big
exactly.
weird cap.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Not to be confused with a dunce cap.
Yeah, floppy dunce's cap. That makes you not a pedo.
Because it's floppy.
Yeah. Don't like that. Where that's going.
Well, you brought it up, Luke.
I hope I didn't. I hope I put it right down.
I only want to be a turnoff, thank you very much. Sexiest man alive? No. Not sexiest man alive. And yeah. That's me. So, hantaviruses, they are carried by rodents, as I said. They infect rodents. Rodents don't really get ill from them, generally, to my understanding. And they can sometimes be transmitted to humans, but that's not super likely.
Okay, that's super interesting. So they're actually like, they're carried by a rodent, but they're actually not affecting the rodent whatsoever. It's just when they cross into us that they're a problem. So it's just kind of inert in the rodent.
Okay, so for example, right? Like, there are plenty of diseases that are really, really bad for our immune systems.
Mm.
Okay, so a good disease generally does not want to kill you immediately before
right, yes.
you can spread it. And so if say like a virus is evolved in tandem with some group of animals and then hops into another animal, It's not gonna work with their immune system in the same way, right? Like we have a different body than a rat.
So it's, I guess what you're saying here is that like the virus is specialized to reproduce in rats, right? So rats pass it to other rats.
Rodents yeah.
pass it to other rodents very well. And it basically, it's actually quite a, like what we would call like a very good effective virus in that it doesn't actually kill the host or even make the host particularly ill. It just reproduces itself, doing more or less nothing, or like closer to nothing than like a deadly virus. But then when it hops into us, it just happens to do something really bad to us that it didn't even really specialize to do.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, and here I want to be clear. I don't know how, because hantaviruses are like a family, like they're a group of viruses. So I don't want to say outright it's actually fine for like rats and mice or rodents
yeah.
to get to you know be infected with a hantavirus. All I know is that it says that it's carried by rodents and it naturally infects rodents, and to my understanding I'd be very surprised if it had the effect on rodents that it has on humans, right? As in it'd be very hard for it to spread.
Yes, and that's presumably going to come onto that, because this is why you're feeling confident to say what you say about it not becoming a pandemic, is because it's actually not very good at spreading itself in people.
Sure, yeah. I'm not feeling confident to say it. I'm feeling confident to repeat what I have heard and read. This is none of these are my own thoughts. These are just me parroting the thoughts of people who know about this stuff.
Okay.
As I did with COVID. And that was before we called it COVID, by the way. This is back when it was just coronavirus. And mm-hmm. is because coronavirus is the virus and COVID is the disease. That's before we were even talking about COVID. It was a coronavirus episode. So, meh, there.
You're never going to live this down.
No, I know, right?
Especially if this one becomes really bad as well.
Yeah, man.
That's kind of you. You're done.
I know.
You just have to sit on the bench.
At some point, I got to just stop. You know what I mean? Got to just stop. Like if this gets bad, I clearly have the power to affect world events.
Either that or you're just so wrong that we have to start paying attention to you, but in the opposite direction.
But if I'm so wrong, that means that I'm right.
Exactly.
I'm just out of phase. But if you think about it, right, like it could be something that is like a flu essentially mm-hmm. for, or a cold for rats, and then it hops into humans and it's super deadly. And there's loads of things like that. I mean, bats are one of the one of the worst ones for that, because bats' immune systems are kind of nuts, and bats' just bodies are generally nuts. They run quite hot, right? I'm pretty sure bats can get rabies and survive, because rabies can't survive in bats. because right. of their metabolism and all of that sort of stuff, right? So if you have a virus that is generally fine, right? Oh, I guess like swine flu, maybe that? Or bird flu yeah, could be similar. Yeah. Although that might kill birds. Because I think
that's what I'm like basing this off of when I've heard about, obviously I'm not trained in this stuff, and the closest I can think of is like bird flu. But bird flu is actually very bad for birds as well. And then it hops into humans and it's bad for humans. And so that's why I'm interested and surprised by this, just because like, I think as a layman, I think most people will not have heard so much about viruses that are like quite inert in the species that they generally are spread in, or like reasonably inert. And then they hop into a different species and are actually catastrophic for that species. It's like finding out there's a virus for Windows and it just kind of like sends a bunch of emails and does nothing else. And then if you get it as a Mac user, your computer just collapses. Obviously, mm-hmm. it's not literally like that because for boring reasons I won't go into. But like, it's weird to think about something being transmissible to something new, i.e. a human, and then it doing something way worse to that human if you are not trained in understanding the biology or virology or whatever.
Yeah, I suppose that you kind of take it for granted when you kind of have a bit more of a cursory knowledge on it than mm-hmm. than I guess a complete layman. So like, for example, bird flu I think is like highly fatal to birds. Swine flu, according to the CDC, it can cause high levels of illness in pig herds but cause few deaths in pigs, right? So for example, like, it's, don't take it as a strict rule what I'm saying. Because it's biology, everything's messy. But the point is that like a virus could be less harmful in the species that it's evolved for, because again, not that a virus has goals, it barely is a thing, right? The virus is like on the line between life and chemicals. Mm-hmm. So you know, it doesn't have any like wants, wills, desires, but let's anthropomorphize it slightly for the purpose of this discussion, right? A virus does not necessarily want to kill you really quick, right? That might be good depending on how it spreads, right? But it doesn't necessarily want to do that because you are the means of the virus propagating, essentially. If the virus continuing to exist, it wants to get into you and then spread to other people and maybe stay in you. And one of the best ways to do that is to keep you alive for long enough to spread. Now, if it doesn't spread very well and it kills you really quickly, not likely to infect a lot of people. If it doesn't kill you but spreads really easily, then it's gonna, you know, that's a more successful sort of virus in terms of keeping itself alive. Although now I'm thinking about it, it's like, why does a virus even do that, you know? Why is there a drive just to exist for even something that doesn't, it's not even DNA sometimes, you know? I mean, it's just like a string of stuff, and it doesn't even have its own apparatus to make anything. It has to hijack yours. It's nuts.
Kind of annoying. Like, I would love to hear something from somebody who is incredibly well versed in a religion and also incredibly well versed in virology, because I grew up in the church, and having like grown up being taught like a sort of intelligent design view of the world, of like God creating the world deliberately and crafting it and caring for humans and like really thinking about this, it feels like if you then, I don't know, maybe this is naive of me or whatever, but I don't know how I would marry those two things, right? Like how I would marry like, oh, this really,
sorry,
super,
can I help you? You wouldn't, because marriage is between a man and a woman. Carry on.
Yes. Sure. Okay. Thank you, Lord and Savior, for helping me not stray from the path. Like, I don't know how I would like link up those two things of like, oh, a really, really super all-powerful, smart dude in the sky, or as
dudette,
or, well, no, as Richard Dawkins recently described it, which I found so funny, a supernatural sky daddy. I just loved that phrase so much. Have whatever opinions you want on Dawkins and his like falling in love with Claude or whatever.
Two things. One, gender doodrel. And two, no, don't have whatever opinions you want on Dawkins. You have to think negatively of him, I'm afraid. That's, I don't make the rules. Unfortunately, you have, there's just no possible way to have any other opinion on the man.
Supernatural Sky Daddy, though. Anyway, so Supernatural Sky Daddy, who invented the world, but then also invented like a bunch of like little little creatures that aren't even creatures that want to replicate themselves for literally no reason at all other than that they want to replicate themselves. And like a lot of the time they make your day worse, and sometimes they kill you and they threaten to kill all of the things that Supernatural Sky Daddy made. Why did Supernatural Sky Daddy do that? And I think the crossover between people who deeply understand theology and deeply understand virology is not a large, like, Venn diagram crossover point. And I want to speak to those Venn diagram crossover people and be like, please explain to me why Supernatural Sky Daddy did this, because it feels unnecessary. At least the bacteria are doing something. At least they can, like, reproduce for themselves. These virus guys are just, like, asshole and parasites and pointless. Why, Daddy, why?
These bloody viruses coming into our bodies, right? Using up all of our resources. It's killing us, okay? These viruses need to go back to wherever it is they came from, right? They're just living off of the state. And by the state, I mean the state of my body, okay? They can't survive on their own. If they can't survive on their own, Luke, I say let them die. Let them perish.
Wow. Have you thought of running for office?
Yeah, Reform have been in contact quite a lot. Yeah, they want to change a few words in my speech, mostly the word virus.
Yeah.
To the word immigrants.
It's a small change.
It's not that big of a change, I guess.
One
you
word.
Know.
What's the word?
Yeah, right. What does immigrant mean?
I think it has a few meanings.
Picking up from context from my chats with those Reform blokes, I think it means bad brown person. But again, I'm not really sure.
What's the worst that could happen?
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
Thank goodness for that ad bell. I think we needed that ad bell right now.
Yeah, I think we did. You probably need a break from this god-awful episode. And if you want more god-awful things with even less of a filter, where can they get that, Luke?
Oh, they can get that on patreon.com/thatguys.
At patreon.com/thatguys. Okay, back to the show now.
I'm thinking maybe the ad bell should follow Nigel Farage around and stop following us around and just ding-a-ling-ling all the time.
So look, we've been talking about hantaviruses. Obviously, they're a family. The family is Hantaviridae. I don't know. Within the order Bunyavirales. That means nothing to you, of course, but maybe to someone it means something.
You left out whether it means something to you, Corey. Does it mean something to you?
I don't know if anything means anything to me anymore, look.
Bunya Chihuahua.
Okay, so it says here that each hantavirus is typically associated with a specific rodent reservoir species in which the virus causes long-term infection without apparent illness. If I just read ahead in my notes, Luke, we had a whole conversation and I was like, I don't know, because the bit of my notes that I was looking at did not say what I thought I remembered, which was, yeah, it doesn't necessarily affect rodents.
No, it's a benevolent lord to the rodents.
So HPV, for example, mm-hmm. You can have it.
Yeah,
and not have the genital warts that it brings along with it.
Oh, nice.
But also, you can have HPV and then perhaps get cervical cancer, right?
Right. Not nice.
And so HPV, whilst like mostly harmless, also cannot be, right?
And you can give it to other people.
Yeah, you can give it. Well, you can, obviously.
I don't have it.
You're not sexy.
I'm not sexy. No one will go near me.
You wouldn't know if you had HPV though. They don't test for it in men usually.
So I can have it.
You can. You always can.
I'm the rat in this situation.
To be clear, you always can have it. That's never, you can, if you want HPV, Luke, you can get it.
Where?
That's a university campus.
Oh.
By Freshers Week. That's a big hub.
I thought you meant like in some research.
No, you're
like
going to have to have sex with teenagers, unfortunately.
Bunch of Mingan students.
yeah. You're going to have to do it, Luke. You're going to have God. To.
Just to get this HPV? Why can't I just go to Boots?
No protection. Because HPV is a virus. You know what HPV is, right?
Yeah. They don't have it at Boots?
I mean, someone at Boots might have it. I don't know.
Okay, well, that's good.
Enough of HPV. Back to hantaviruses. It can cause two separate conditions. In the Americas, HCPS, which is hantavirus cardiopulmonary syndrome. And in Europe and Asia, hantaviruses can cause hemorrhagic fever with renal syndrome, HFRS, which affects the kidneys and blood vessels. The former, HCPS, affecting the lungs and heart.
Just to clarify, are you saying that there are two separate viruses that haven't bridged? Like, there's one that exists in Americas and one that exists in Europe?
Not two separate viruses. This is a family of viruses, so we're talking about, like, I don't know the number.
Okay, but, yeah. but there's, like, a bunch of them that exist in America and a bunch that exist in Europe, and they haven't currently been spread, like, across.
You're asking such specific questions, man.
I'm just trying to understand, like,
So let's think more broadly of okay. Just, like, if because that question is so specific. Like, has it bridged? It's not common for, it's not super common, right, for people to get infected with this. And it's the strains of the viruses that there are in the Americas will have these effects. Strains of the virus that are in Europe will have those effects.
Cool. I was just trying to clarify my understanding. I wasn't trying to be nitpicky.
I wasn't trying to be nitpicky.
My silly brain was like, so are you saying that Europeans only get these symptoms? Obviously, you're not saying that. So you're meaning that there are like different strains in different areas of the world, and they are like at least in a large part like they exist in different forms in different parts of the world at the moment. Until the rats start getting on planes.
Well, I mean, boats. Rats have been on boats for as long as there have been boats.
That's why I'm confused by the different strains in the different like areas.
I would just not think too deeply about it.
Okay.
It's like regardless of people traveling from one place to another, there's still probably good, like, you know, a virus could be more successful in this area than that area because there's different rodents that it's, you know, it's different rodent Fine. Species that it infects, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's a reservoir species, that species isn't necessarily going to exist on another continent. And so, you know, and even if it does exist on another continent, there could be sort of genetic differences, like a subspecies. And so there's differences there. This is the thing. When you ask a question that's like, a little bit more specific,
yeah,
then I'm like, well, that's there's even more specificity underlying that. So to get to like a conclusion of slightly more specificity, it's bloody turtles all the way down, man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you're giving me too much credit here. I was actually just trying to understand what you were saying.
Oh, I understand where you were coming okay. from. Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying why I can't just give you an answer and be like, yeah, no, this is what it is. When you try to come up with an explanation that is solid, I can't answer that. Which cool. is why I'm so like, I'm very shifty, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like saying things for sure because I studied biology. And that's saying that means you're wrong.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like, I can't even say viruses are like bits of there are RNA viruses out there, Luke. Right? Basically every rule in biology has an exception. So you'll never see a biologist say anything for sure.
They just need to pick a lane.
No, there's too many lanes, Luke. I mean, you go down a lane, you realize there's actually another lane shooting off of it that you've never heard. Oh, mammals don't lay eggs? Yes, they bloody well do, Luke.
Next
yes, they
thing
do.
You're going to tell me species aren't real, Corey. Come on.
Oh, let's not go there.
Don't break all of my walls. My
Nothing means
walls.
Anything. But no hantaviruses. So obviously there are those two sort of syndromes that hantaviruses can cause. Very, very, very deadly. So the symptoms usually begin between 1 and 8 weeks after exposure. So it's like a long sort of lead time there.
That's part of scary.
Yeah, so you can have it and then not know. And I think you're then... it would be fever, headache, muscle aches, gastrointestinal symptoms, like abdominal pain, then and nausea and vomiting. And I think like 1 to 8 weeks is so long because I don't know what I was doing 8 weeks ago.
Yeah. What month was it? It was, God, March. Where was I? Oh, I don't... Yeah.
I don't remember March. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Never known a March in my life.
That's kind of freaky. If you had to try and backtrack, I'd just look at my calendar and my texts. But I forget to text people all the time.
You
so
don't text.
I'm useless.
You wouldn't look at your text. You look at the other the text that other people have sent to you.
Yeah. Oh, I was here when I ignored that text because I was stressed. Of course. I remember now.
I genuinely have to go through my photos sometimes to be like, what the hell was going on in my life?
Sometimes I take photos to be like, I just need a bookmark.
That's smart.
So I know where I am.
I've stopped taking photos quite often because I'm not going out when I'm not going out and doing stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, here's a picture of a naked person. Here's a picture of the same naked person.
What?
The naked person that I live with who's always naked.
And you just snap photos?
Yeah, not like saucy photos.
Okay. Or just like
sometimes saucy if there's, you know, cooking and sauce involved, but
that
that's
seems dangerous
rare.
To be naked when cooking with sauce.
Yeah, that's why I take a picture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, most of these are just like, haha, look at what you're doing. Isn't that funny?
As evidence.
Don't know who I'm going to share it with because you're like literally butt naked. But no,
let's hope
so
your icon never gets hacked.
There'd be worse things on there. So the symptoms, Luke, HCPS, it can progress rapidly to cough, shortness of breath, accumulation of fluid in the lungs, and shock. HFRS, later stages might include low blood pressure, bleeding disorders, and kidney failure. So the infections are quite uncommon globally, but are associated with a case fatality rate of 1 to 15% in Asia and Europe, and up to 50% in the Americas.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's high.
That's high. Like COVID isn't even that high. Do you know how high COVID was?
Like, I would guess at like 1% to 3%. Is my guess.
2.7. The crude mortality rate was really 2.7, and the case fatality rate was much higher. Okay, that's...
That's a pretty good guess, then.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. I mean, that's that's me reading, like, a little snippet that could be...
Is that the Google AI again?
It's not the Google AI. This is from Our World in Data. But let's say 2.7 is often misreported as the case fatality rate, which is wrong, because not everyone in the world was infected with the virus that caused the Spanish flu. Oh, wait, hold on. Is this about the Spanish flu?
Ah.
I don't know what it is for COVID, but it looks like it's bloody somewhere around 2 to 4%, under 5, above 1.
And that's what I said.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Okay. I don't remember. You know how I said I don't remember March? Look, I don't remember 5 minutes ago.
Well, that was only 1 minute ago. So
I don't remember 30 seconds
ago.
Can
we get you checked? You okay?
For what?
Everything.
What are you talking about,
Luke? You need
Luke?
To do that cognitive test Donald Trump's been doing.
Look, we just...
Can you name the hippo?
You get... You've
Which
already,
one's the hippo,
no,
Corey?
Hold on. Remember, we spoke about this on pod. You get to mention one of these guys per episode. You've already mentioned Dawkins, okay?
Is Dawkins on the list with Trump and
I don't like Dawkins.
And Elon Musk.
He's a big old transphobe, Luke.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's sad.
Are you joking me? You didn't know that?
I try to stay away.
Either way, bad bloke.
Okay, well, I'll add him to the list.
Just the list of men. Honestly, Luke, it'd be much easier having
Luke's
a list
of men.
Famous men that are all right, actually.
Okay.
Because like the list of ones that are bad blokes is too long at this point.
What about Tom Holland? Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. Pedro Pascal seems all right as well.
All right, that's two for my list. I'll get back to you. Of okay men.
Okay.
Okay, famous men.
Such a low bar.
As yet known, acceptable famous men.
Yeah, yeah. Until they do something, you know. Until they do something.
You're going to hear a load of Pablo Escobar. Pablo Pascal references on this. Yeah, I got mixed up between Pablo. It's because he played Pablo Escobar, I think, in a show, didn't he? Anyway, move on.
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
You said Pablo again.
I think he paid Pablo Escobar in a show.
Yeah, sure. But then you said Pablo Pascal like twice.
I ship them.
Okay.
Back to ships. Yeah, that segue. Lovely.
Well
Zing.
Done. Good job.
Better than my first segue.
You know the guy that invented segues segued off a cliff, I think by accident.
Deliberately, that would be... I mean, what a way to go if you did it on purpose. That would be iconic.
I don't know. Maybe that's your homework for next time. You figure that out, all right?
It's the first time I've got homework.
Well, I've been thinking about introducing the concept of homework so you remember what we talk about on the show. And maybe, you know, you can like you can have then something that you can talk about.
What, the stuff we learned last week?
The slight gaps in stuff that we learned last week, yeah.
Okay, whether the guy who made segues killed himself.
The people are clamoring to know, just like the people are clamoring to know, the information that I have to give out here, Luke. So, yeah, as I said, up to 50% fatality in the Americas, 1 to 15% in Asia and Europe. It says worldwide, and this is from the World Health Organization, I'm pretty sure, it's estimated that 10,000 to over 100,000 infections occur each year, with the largest burden in Asia and Europe, where there's a lower fatality rate. Although, 15%, still bloody high.
Why has this been such a big story, then? If it's like we know a few people have got it, but there are actually 10,000 people a year get it.
Because it seems to be transferred from human to human, which is rare.
So they're all getting it from rats.
And I think these people are probably like white.
And they're all chefs.
Where are you getting that from?
Well, where are they getting it from? They're tiny rat chefs.
No, look, don't. Okay, I appreciate the jokes.
He can be as clean as he wants, but he can still pass it on.
That's true. I don't like where we're going with this sort of like... Doesn't matter what you do, you're still a rat. It feels very ratsist. But look, they're passengers, okay? I just worry that if you say they were all chefs, some little person who's listening is gonna think that. And then they're going to be scared of chefs for life.
I think it'd be really fun if I started. Like, we've got so much bigotry in the world, it'd be fun to start some really random bigotry, like bigotry against chefs.
I tried that and people didn't like it.
What were you bigoted against?
Left-handed people.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. But we don't have a lot of chefs watching. We have a lot of left-handed people watching.
I don't think it'd get more chefs watching, Luke.
No, but I just mean that we won't get the comments because the chefs aren't watching.
People like chefs, I think, no? I don't want to start another feud with Gordon
I don't
Ramsay.
Know any chefs that I like.
Okay, right. I'm moving on.
I actually know one chef. Carry on.
Thank you for...
And he's a real bastard.
You're really interrupting with nothing at this point. Do you even know a chef? Do you actually know a chef?
I know an ex-chef. He used to be horrible. He's
an ex-chef.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really limited, right? No wonder he's so horrible. I can't do anything else. I'm just using hands. Scrambled, boiled, poached. I've done it all. So in Europe, several thousand cases are reported each year, mainly from northern and central regions where Pumala virus circulates. There is one.
What's Pumala virus?
A hantavirus, I guess.
Oh, okay, cool.
Use your brain, man.
You don't dead name it. It changed its name to Pumala. That's fun. Sorry. Please continue.
So, yeah, what the takeaway here is that in the Americas, it's more fatal, but it seems to be more common in Europe. And I know 10,000 to 100,000 infections each year sounds massive.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so that's not actually that big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that many. It's spread across like a bunch of countries. Right. If you spread like 10,000 across even 10 countries,
mm-hmm.
that's 1,000 per country, which is negligible.
Yeah. Honestly, in our country, that's not a lot. Like 70 million people and 1,000 people is, you're not even going
to
notice it.
Bring it back to immigrants, right? So put this all in perspective. There are too many coming to our... No. But there are... claims that... What is it? Like 200,000 people have come to the UK in small boats or something.
Since 2018, yeah.
Since 2018. And that sounds like a really big, scary number if you're racist.
Yeah.
And even if you're not racist and just scared.
And don't understand numbers.
But that's it. But yeah. Then I don't want to be like, oh, and don't understand numbers. Because like, it is... It's not intuitive, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. When you get to numbers that size, it's just not intuitive understanding, like, the scale of different things. But after a countable point, numbers are just big numbers.
Yeah.
And people still don't necessarily understand percentages. But just to put it in perspective, I'm pretty sure 200,000 since 2018 is still only about 0.27-ish, like, in that sort of ballpark percent of the UK population.
Now, when I say you don't understand numbers, it's not that I think that by understanding numbers or like studying maths or whatever, you get an intuitive understanding of numbers. But everyone has a calculator app on their phone. They can do 200,000 divided by 8 years.
But they can't.
And then 70 million divided by that.
But they can't, because you need you need to have you are operating off a level of maths that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily have. Like, we can see numbers and be like, okay, let me figure out how many per year, and then, okay, what's the percentage of the UK population each year? And actually, let me check to see how many are going out. What's the net that's going on? Like, what's the net sort of gain or loss, right? That's because we have sort of a basic level of numeracy that we're taking for granted, right? A lot of people won't think that way. They'll see a big number and they'll be like, that number's big. You wouldn't even think to be like, well, let me check, because that's a big number, you know?
Right. Okay. Wow. Goodness me.
Yeah, I understand where
that's a lot to absorb.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. You're totally right. Everyone can do that. Everyone more or less has the tools to do that.
Yeah.
But you need to have more than just the tools to do it. You need to have like the impetus.
But it just feels like when I listen to the radio or something and it's like, the government has spent £20 billion this whatever. I always just instinctively, I'm like, that probably is either not a particularly surprising number, because it's a country, it's 70 million people here. Like, I'm sure it's fine. And it's all designed to make you go, whoa, that's more money than I could even imagine. Like, yeah, but you don't, not for you to imagine, it's for 70 million people to imagine. And so I'm just sort of tuned out to it and just go like, okay, I usually would treat it like 70 then. Like the number is 70. It's not 70 billion, it's just 70. And it's like, if it's gone up by 5 out of 70, maybe we should have a look at that. If it's gone up by 0.02 out of 70, maybe that's not something to pay attention to.
Yeah, exactly. But that's
I know.
That's a smart way of doing it. Yeah.
Fine, whatever.
No, you're totally right. But like people just don't do that.
We need to immunize people against big numbers.
What, by putting smaller numbers inside of them? And
no, by putting lots of big numbers inside of them. Inject them with just 70 billion on a piece of paper. Straight in the veins.
Okay.
I just mean that like getting an understanding of like big numbers are big.
Let me understand.
Yeah.
You want to put numbers.
Yeah.
In people's skin, big numbers.
No, I don't know where this is going.
On a piece of paper, so like ink, you want to ink.
No, Corey.
I'm just curious as to what you're saying.
No, Corey.
Just to clarify, Luke, you're for putting numbers on people?
God, I wouldn't last.
That you deem...
I wouldn't last a minute in politics, would I?
You really wouldn't, especially if I were part of the media class.
Oh God, this is like a fever dream of mine. I'm up for prime minister, and I come out to the debate, and Corey's the moderator, and I'm like, oh God, no!
Just that grinning,
sweating.
Oh, yeah, the fact that the thought that you'd even get that close to being prime minister if I were a moderator is truly laughable. I think you'd crumble at the first hurdle.
Yeah, I'd have a chance.
But I'd be doing it for you, Luke. Because I don't think you could. I don't think you'd want to be prime minister. I'm doing this out of kindness.
That's so lovely. Please sabotage all of my dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So transmission. You can transmit or transfer hantaviruses to humans. As a human, that was a really messed up sentence. Humans can transmit hantavirus to each other. It's not very easy. So you need to come into contact with contaminated urine, droppings. To get it from rodents, you need to get in contact with contaminated urine, droppings, or saliva, right? And it's usually got to be like sort of aspirated, like in the air. Mm-hmm. And like rodents, like rats and stuff, they do pee a lot. They do poop a lot. It's not hard to come into contact with it, but like it's, I don't think you can't just like touch it sort of thing and then oh no you suddenly have it. Uh-huh. There's a bit more of a process than that. I can't see it in front of me right now, but I think I did read somewhere that if it's sort of if it gets into the air and you have contact for a while, that's how you can get it, right?
And this is interesting because there was a thing, maybe you'll come onto this, but there was a thing being said in the early days of this on the news that was like, it's not just passing somebody in an airport, it's not just like sitting next to someone on a bus briefly, it's like prolonged contact, like a long haul flight. So like that specifically, I guess, rules out even a short haul flight, not necessarily, but like they're focusing on long haul. I'm guessing what that means, maybe you can tell me if I've got this even vaguely right in the way I'm thinking about it, is that they actually, the human to human transmission is so low that it's just probabilistically, you're almost definitely not going to get it from a short transmission, even if you're right next to each other. If you're like shortly coming up against each other.
My dudes,
yeah.
You're asking such specific questions, you know?
Yeah.
I can't answer that.
Okay.
What I can say, what I can say is that it's close prolonged contact. It says particularly amongst household members or intimate partners, and it's more likely during the early phases of the illness where it's more transmissible. But that would be like you have to be for example, being on a cruise together in a confined space for a long period of time.
Yeah.
A long haul flight, confined space for a long period of time. I guess spending an hour next to someone in an airplane that is kind of, you know, it probably unlikely, but I imagine it would be. Oh yeah. Rodent bites can also get it.
That's
uncommon. That's less common. But like saliva, urine, bodily fluids. How often are you sort of interacting with other people's bodily fluids? Not much by choice, but it is in the air.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Or sneezing, or like even breathing, can
coughing.
Do it.
Yeah, breathing. Yeah. Exactly. Right. But the amount that you need to get, like the kind of contact that you need to get infected, is, I guess, quite high. Not like COVID and stuff, right, where it's really easily transmissible. This isn't super transmissible from human to human. It's, you're more likely to get it, I don't want to say you're more likely to get it from a rodent, but it's, I think it's far more common for rodent to human transmission than it is for human to human transmission. And again, think about intimate partners, right, and family. Like how often would you say does like a bodily fluid of your child, for example, saliva, make its way into something that is probably going to enter your body?
Good God. Like, if I go 10 minutes without that happening.
Like, she'll puke in your mouth just to make sure.
There's a sneeze or a cough, or she like presses her mouth on my face, or like she grabs my mouth with her hand.
Which has been in her mouth.
Well, yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
If you're feeding her and she's not in and you eat some, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, good God.
You must love baby food.
She doesn't eat baby food. I only feed her things I want to eat because it's inevitable that I will.
Which is just mush, right?
Yeah. I only eat mush, yeah.
Yeah,
she's
so
like,
baby
Father,
food.
Give me a meal. Give me a proper meal. And I'm like, nope. Baby food for you.
This is a mush only house. As long as you're under my roof, you'll have mush fuel. And mush only.
Yeah, but yeah, literally, like, yeah, I've stopped thinking about it because it's just so ridiculously common.
Yeah, I need to, sorry, I need to clarify. This is what I remember, I kind of had half remembered this. Human-to-human transmission has been documented only for the Andes virus in the Americas, and it's uncommon, right? Mm-hmm. So I think with other hantaviruses, it's like so, it's either like not possible or so unlikely that there's just no documented cases of human-to-human transmission. And that's why this is such a thing. And because it's white people, yeah, probably, and human-to-human transmission.
And it isn't in that area of the world either.
Exactly, yeah. In Spain. This isn't the Andes virus, to my understanding. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong, but I read all of this, and sometimes I forget, and then I've got all my notes in front of me, and it's lots of words, Luke. It's lots of words. Mm-hmm. Prolonged contact, household members, intimate partners in the early phases of the illness, and also it's uncommon for the human-to-human transmission, just in general. But sorry, it's uncommon for human-to-human transmission is only documented for the Andes virus in the Americas, right? And even in the Andes virus, it's very uncommon.
So we all need to stop kissing rats.
I will literally never stop doing that. That is one of my favorite things. And you know, you think, oh, haha, Corey's joke. I've had rats, and I love kissing a little rat.
They got such big teeth.
Oh, you don't necessarily need to kiss them on their face. They will probably bite you if you do that. You just kiss them anywhere you can grab. Sometimes you grab their little tails. And you, oh God, I miss my rats.
Silgis.
Aw. yeah, so diagnosis, it's hard to diagnose it because the early symptoms are common with other sort of similar illnesses, like respiratory illnesses and stuff, like flu, COVID-19, viral pneumonia, and a bunch of other things, dengue, sepsis. It says that a careful patient history is therefore essential, with particular attention to possible rodent exposure, occupational and environmental risk, travel history, and contact with known areas where hantavirus is present, right? And then there's like, you can have a laboratory confirmation with a bunch of things that you're not going to understand, but basically looking at specific antibodies and stuff, right? And there's no specific treatment for it, right? We don't have one unified treatment. There's no licensed specific antiviral treatment or vaccine for hantavirus infection. It's supportive care. So basically, keeping on top of the symptoms that it causes and making, if you catch it early and you have sort of like really good intensive care, you have an improved outcome, okay, basically. But this is the thing. I don't know if all of those cases of death are because it's one of those viruses that's common in areas where medical sort of care is less robust than it is, say, in, I don't want to say the US, but in the UK, you know, for example.
Well, it's also that they were on a boat.
Well, yeah, you know, they were on a boat, but I'm talking not about these cases. I'm talking about the cases the cases like the 100,000,
right,
10 to 100,000 cases worldwide.
Okay, yeah, which include loads of different places that
might not have access to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or they charge you loads of money.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Wasn't patient zero, personally, I was fascinated that patient zero was even announced. That seems kind of like a messed up thing to do if you're, I know they're not worried that this is going to become a thing, but it still feels like a mean thing to do. But I believe he was quite a famous
ornithologist.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again.
Ornithologist.
What?
Ornithologist.
A what?
Ornithologist.
An ornithologist. Yes.
Like, I saw like a bunch of posts online from ornithologists being like, "Whoa, it's this guy!" You know, like, I don't know who's that in our world. Like, if we're like, patient zero was
Hank Green,
and we're like, "Whoa!" And everyone's like, "Who's Hank Green?" Well, if you're not on the internet, and then we're like, "That's Hank Green, man."
Mm. It's weird though, and I don't want to be like, but because I think the man did die, and it's awful. But like, it is an ornithologist dying of a rodent virus. Mm-hmm. And not a bird virus is, you know, there's like very famous bird flus out there.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's, I guess, ironic.
But I think it's because you're spending so much time in nature. Normally you're like watching the birds from afar, aren't you? You're not going cuddling.
Well, that's a bird watcher, not an ornithologist. Well, what is it? Like ornithologists study birds. Do you think that they're only studying birds from afar? I think an ornithologist is more likely to have close contact with birds than like
other
people.
So I'm going off of the thing I saw online where it was like someone had posted his profile and it said 5,900 sightings. So it looked like he was like,
oh, maybe he was
logging
a bird watcher.
Which birds he was seeing. He might also be an ornithologist as well.
So you're right. Ornithologists like, have a broad, they can watch birds.
He had a
also.
Social profile of like, I watch birds. Like, okay.
Fucking creep.
there's a man has died, Corey.
Yeah, I know. I forget. That's really awful. That is really awful.
I think it's that man. I'm not sure, but I think it is.
Thank you for your facts on this podcast. No, it's horrible. It's good that it's, you know, I'd say it's good that it's not like necessarily sort of pandemic potential. And I think a lot of people are jumpy about that. But from what I've read, it's a lot of stuff like, should I be worried? And it's like, there's not a huge risk. It's a serious infection. Obviously, people have died, but it doesn't spread easily through social contact to the point where it's like, actually, even I would argue that like a lockdown would probably be worse for the spread, because if someone has it, then everyone in their house is going to get it. And then if you try to isolate from that person by going somewhere else, then
you just need to all start jogging.
Yeah, everyone outside all the time. Everyone in tents.
Running.
Everyone in their own tent.
Don't be near anyone for any long amount of time. You have to exclusively see people you don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So the people that have potentially been exposed or self-isolating, there's a plan in place to monitor these people. There's obviously the incubation period is several weeks, so it's like, could be a while before we like necessarily know how many people have actually got it, etc., etc. Like, this could change over the next few weeks because there's such a long incubation period. And yeah, from what I've read, it seems that people are saying that it is the risk to the, like, literally right here, the risk to the wider UK population is very low, and it can be fatal without prompt treatment. It's a serious infection, but like, if we know the people that have potentially been infected, then they're being monitored, they can get the treatment that they need, it's much, their outcomes are going to be much better, etc. It doesn't seem to be like something at this moment that you need to worry about. That doesn't mean you don't need to worry about it in future, just like with coronavirus and COVID. But right now, the consensus seems to be that it's unlikely to be a massive risk to the wider public. It's not something you need to be worrying yourself about. Yeah, so even though there's not a specific treatment, you know, we know about this. We know what happens, right? We know what it does. So we can treat the symptoms. And realistically, if it ever does become a big problem, all of our resources are going to be going towards some kind of like cure or vaccine, etc. Just like with COVID. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I'd hope that the apparatus for that is more readily sort of set up.
Well, they're primed to think. Pandemic? Oh no! Like, which they weren't, like, the people were primed to think that, but no one was listening to them pre the pandemic.
Yeah, like, because they were like, well, we're in the future now, and like, how could a pandemic be bad? Like, we've got technology and science, and it's probably going to be fine, and then it wasn't, and then it wasn't.
I think as well, like, what really struck me listening to you talk about this and listening to a bit of the coverage over the last few days is, like, we're living in this era where, like, there's so much anti-expert, and also like a lot of like, we need to cut our government spending, all that kind of stuff. And then, but listening to like something like this happens, and this whole mechanism jumps in and goes like, oh, these people are doing the isolation, these people are, the army's flying people back, these people are doing contact tracing, these people are like giving them advice on self-isolating. The whole machinery that just jumps in and is always ready to go is just incredible. And of course, sometimes it gets things wrong, and of course, sometimes it has flaws. But like, you lose that, like, it is pretty amazing that just there's all these people with all these expertise always at work, always ready to pounce on anything and keep it down. And that, I just think that's so incredible.
Yeah, it's one of those things that makes you feel kind of hopeful, right? Like, obviously, politicians generally suck. A lot of people bloody suck. But the scientists out there are doing good work, right? Like, there are so many people out there, you're right, who are just working on making things better for everyone. And that is I'm glad that you brought that up at the end now, because that's really who we want to highlight, right? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously tragic that so many people have died from this. Very thankfully, it's not really a virus that seems to have pandemic potential just because of how hard it is to transmit, which is lucky. And I think it's important as well to be cautious about the media that you consume, because obviously, sensationalizing things is the goal, I guess, for a lot of media outlets, because that's what gets them clicks. And people are obviously very, like, I guess, sensitive to the topic of a dangerous virus after COVID, because we've all now experienced living through a pandemic. And it has changed everything, even in ways that we don't necessarily think about, right? Like, it's affected every aspect of life. It's affected an entire generation of kids. It's massive. And so you really, really need to be cautious about like who you're listening to on this stuff. From what I understand, from what I've read, it's, and this is all still currently happening, right? So things could change. This is all the information that I've got as of the 11th, 12th of May, right? 2026. But yeah, it doesn't spread very easily, and it's really like it doesn't spread very easily between humans, just as a general rule. And we're already aware of it. We're isolating people, so at this moment, it doesn't seem like it's something that you need to worry about. You specifically, Luke.
Thank you, and I can go back to kissing rats.
Sure. Okay. Only fancy rats, may I
ask?
Okay,
fancy rat. Yeah, a nice little suit.
Anything else you want to say before the end, Luke?
No, that's plenty.
Good. That's it. Over. That is us. Thank you very much. We'd like to thank all of our patrons and thank you for watching. You can find film references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment to support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find a contact us at SciGuysPod.co.uk.
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk. SciGuysPod.co.uk.
You can follow me at NotCore everywhere.
And you can follow me at LukeCutfield everywhere.
And you can follow us both to the Patreon.
Off we go.